My name is Stephanie Belongi, and this is a story of how I experienced true life in Christ after the loss of my brother Mike. I grew up in a loving home with Christian parents in Madison, Wisconsin, but there were many aspects of our family that felt far from normal. My parents became Christians later in life and had other marriages and children before they met and had me. They were 42 and 50 when I was born, and my three half-siblings were 10 to 25 years older than I was. I was and am very close to my sister, who lived with us, but I never understood why my brother, who was 25 years older, was never around. I always thought that it had something to do with me, and that if I was valuable enough to him, he would be in my life. My parents worked very hard and sacrificed a lot to ensure I could stay in a private Christian school, and we were always very involved with church. As a result, I was very sheltered. While Jesus is praying in John 17, 15 through 16, he asks his Father not to take us out of the world, but also states that we are not of this world. Looking back, I learned how to stay completely out of the world. As a result, I equated obedience and good works to salvation, and I always knew the right answer and the right thing to do, and I did that in order to never disappoint my parents. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I always believed I could do it on my own." I went on to go to a Christian college where I earned a Bible degree, then eventually moved to Dallas in the spring of 2009. Shortly after I moved to Dallas, my brother Mike relocated to Austin. He began to try to be more involved in my life and would often call anytime there were storms to check in and make sure I was okay. I would regularly ignore his calls, still hurt and angry at him for not being in my life when I was a little girl. I remember thinking, I don't need you now that I'm all grown up. I needed you then. When I moved to Dallas, I quickly got involved in the health and fitness scene and started dating a triathlete. It had always been a goal of mine to do a triathlon, so I found a race and signed up. The race was in Austin on May 30th, 2011, which also happened to be my mom's birthday. I asked my parents to come and watch and invited my brother to come as well. The race went great. I beat my goal time and was beyond excited to go home to my boyfriend in Dallas and celebrate, still not really wanting much to do with my brother. Nevertheless, I went to lunch with him and my parents after the race. I had no idea that in my haste, these would be the last moments I would ever get to spend with him. I still remember the last words he spoke to me as he gave me a hug. "Answer the phone when your big brother calls you. I love you." My parents came out to Dallas a couple days later to help me move into my new apartment. The day they were supposed to leave, they woke me up at 6:30 a.m. and I instantly knew something was wrong. It was as if the whole world slowed down as they told me they had gotten a call from the Austin police and that my brother Mike had had a heart attack at 3 a.m. that morning and that he didn't make it. A lifetime of me trying to do everything to ensure my parents were happy came crashing down, as this was a weight I just couldn't bear. I talked them out of staying in Dallas and urged them to leave to go home as planned. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 tells us to come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But it would be years before I was able to truly rest in that truth. I basically lived with my boyfriend over the next 2 weeks, unable to be alone for even a moment. I've never been someone prone to anxiety, but I still remember the first time the door shut behind him and I was left in the apartment alone and immediately had my first panic attack. The relationship lasted less than 3 weeks after my brother passed away before my boyfriend broke up with me. At the same time, I didn't hear from my best friend for over 6 weeks as she didn't quite know how to handle my grief and loss. Beyond all this, there was a legal struggle over my brother's body for 10 days until his girlfriend could prove common law marriage. We never had a funeral. Even though Hebrews 13:5 tells us God will never leave you nor forsake you, that is exactly what I believed he had done. I had spent my entire life trying to do everything right, and this is where it left me. I boldly told the Lord, "I've held up my end of the deal and you haven't upheld yours, so I'm out." I spent the next nine months doing everything I was told growing up I should never do. I turned to partying, working out, men, and work in order to find my value and satisfaction. Even when God began to tug at my heart, and I knew deep down none of those things could truly satisfy me, I believed that I would have to pay a penance for everything that I had done wrong. I was exhausted, and again, boldly told the Lord he'd just have to wait. I was dating someone new that was making me happy, and I decided I'd just wait until that crashed and burned before I attempted to turn my life around. I had recently bought a cat, because what else would a depressed single girl do, and had just gotten a promotion and was training for a half Ironman. I was convinced I'd be fine. I was 6 weeks out from my half Ironman, and while running a half marathon as a training race, ended up injuring my foot to the point I was unable to race. I was crushed, and to make matters worse, it turned out the cat had ringworm, which resulted in over 30 spots all over my body. The anxiety came back in full force as I was wearing long sleeves and pants in 70-degree weather, constantly blistering spots on my body and washing my sheets daily. The Lord's pursuit was in full force as I vividly remember the morning I woke up and said to myself, this is what it feels like to not trust the Lord. Whatever issues I have with him, I need to figure it out because I can't live the rest of my life this way. I immediately asked a girl I worked with who was a Christian to go to breakfast, where I proceeded to confess everything I had done. Her and I honestly didn't even get along, but I couldn't help it. I needed to get it all out and leave it behind me. James 5:15-16 says, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I was beyond ready to experience that healing. However, I left that breakfast still believing I would have to pay a price for my sins. I had existing plans that weekend to go down to Houston to visit a friend, and as much as I wanted to make a change, I wasn't confident enough yet to do much of anything differently. I made decisions I've been making for the last year, but something was different. For the first time, I was bothered by those decisions. Things I could do without thinking in the past all of a sudden were eating at me. It was in that moment that I first understood grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This flew in the face of how I had operated my entire life, but I couldn't ignore that the parts of my heart that had become so numb suddenly had feeling again. In that moment, I knew that Jesus' death on the cross truly paid the price for my sins, and there was hope for new life in him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I left at 7 a.m. the next morning to make it to Dallas in time to go to church, where I heard a local pastor preach on Galatians. For the next 6 weeks, I sat alone in a pew, bawling, as words I had known my entire life all of a sudden had a different meaning to me. My circumstances had hardly changed since the previous summer. My brother was still gone, I was still single, and honestly, I didn't really have any friends at this point either. Romans 8:28 promises us that God works all things out for the good of those that love him, and I've spent the last 6 years experiencing how true that is. In the fall of 2014, 3 years after I lost my brother, my friend Brad told me about Grief Share and suggested I attend. I basically blew him off, telling him I was fine and I had gone to counseling and I didn't really need it. He encouraged me to keep thinking about it and told me if I changed my mind, he would introduce me to the leaders. Well, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and the following Tuesday, I found myself joining an open group. I felt so relieved watching the videos and realizing the things I'd been feeling were normal. For the first time, I felt understood in my grief. I cried through every single week of small group time, no matter how hard I tried to hold it together. Even though the Lord had redeemed my life, I was still convinced I could do it on my own. Paul warns the Galatians of this in Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? In all the pain of my grief and repercussions of my sin, I had built a strong wall around myself, believing it was safer not to let anyone in. Participating in small group and realizing that I was, in fact, not alone in my pain was one of the first things that started to chip away at those walls. By the end of the semester, I knew I could no longer go through life alone. I began attending Watermark regularly and went through the next membership class. I got into a community group and began serving at The Porch, which is our young adults ministry on Tuesday nights. Solomon speaks to community in Ecclesiastes 4:10. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Choosing to allow other believers to walk through this life on earth with me has changed everything. This was seen vividly in a recent season of life. In May 2015, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. My dad passing away has always been the fear I struggle with most in life. But by the grace of God and the love of many people that are sitting in this room, instead of running away from God in fear, I turned toward him with my doubt and questions. Some of the most intimate moments I've ever experienced happened in the 9 months my dad battled cancer. I remember laying on the bathroom floor, sobbing to the Lord, praying the only thing I could get out. No, 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 please, God, no. I don't know that I've ever felt as close to the Lord as I did in that moment. I know that I've never felt more loved than when I was at a retreat with my Porch team. And while I was sharing what I was walking through and facing the possibility of losing my dad, their response was to open their Bibles and begin praying scripture over me. My dad did beat his cancer, and after many ups and downs, he is currently healthy and doing well. However, I know that one day he will go to be with the Lord, and I daily have to trust God in his perfect timing. Last summer was the 5-year anniversary of my brother's death, and while it may seem strange to say this, I realized that allowing my brother to pass away was one of the most loving things the Lord has done. In Revelations 3:15 through 20, God says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and to salve and to anoint your eyes that you may see. To those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." These verses perfectly describe where I was at prior to my brother's death and how God lovingly disciplined me through my grief. While I had blamed God for leaving me alone with no community when my brother had passed, what took me 5 years to realize is that I had made decisions long before his death that resulted in my lack of Christ-centered relationships. Through all of this, the question that always remains is, do I trust God in every circumstance? Abraham is spoken of in Romans 4:20, which says, "No distrust made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God, fully convinced that he was able to do all that he had promised." When I first memorized that verse, I often forgot the part that says, "But he grew strong in his faith." I always saw him as someone that God gave a supernatural ability to trust him. But as I went back and read his story in Genesis, I realized that Abraham often didn't trust God. It was through the experiences of reacting in fear instead of choosing to trust and seeing him remain faithful that Abraham's faith grew. For me, the loss of my brother was one of the experiences that I reacted to in fear and doubt, refusing to trust what God had said in his word. In Romans 8:38, Paul tells us, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." It was through God's pursuit of loving me regardless of my wanderings that has grown my faith, especially through my seasons of grief. Although the Lord has shown me what true life in him looks like since the loss of my brother, it doesn't mean life has been easy or that daily choosing Christ isn't hard. It is a discipline of surrounding myself with community and choosing to remind myself of truth, even when I'm tempted to forget that God is good and that he is trustworthy. I'll end by reading one last section of scripture that reminds me of this truth. Psalm 56, 8 through 13. "You have taken account of my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O Lord. I will render thank offerings to you. For you've delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Thanks.